Hello and welcome to Dear Patriarchy Podcast. This is the Gaslit Woman's Guide to Conquering the Corporate World. We're two sisters, we're armed with facts and statistics, and we're destigmatizing the plight of the working woman and also non-binary people who identify as women as well, and anyone who's really been marginalized within the culture of the corporate environment. Welcome, I'm Lisa.
And I'm Jennifer.
Hi.
Hi.
How are we doing?
Here we go.
Yeah.
We're good. So how are you feeling today?
Today I'm okay. I took a self-defense class and I found it a really empowering experience. I don't know. There's just something, I think the more statistics I read about women and the way that women exist in the world and the danger that surrounds us all, but is disproportionately aimed at women from a violence perspective. It's I never really thought I'd be super worried about personal safety, and just taking this one class has kind of made me feel like, okay, if something was to happen to me, I'd know a little bit, you know? I'd know a little bit.
Other than just putting your keys between your fingers.
Yeah, which apparently can break your fingers and do all sorts of stuff. So like the key in the finger thing, even though that's the one of the most widely touted things to do, is one of the most dangerous things you can possibly do, because it can break the bones in your fingers. It can really damage, you know, obviously really hurt you as well as potentially not hurt the person you're trying to ward off. So yeah, it was a good, yeah, that's why I didn't know that. Yeah, so we made a TikTok long time ago, like a year ago, and it was me pretending to walk across a dark car park, you know, like a car lot, like check, like got my key between my fingers.
Yes, yes, yes.
Someone commented on it. It was like, oh my gosh, don't do that. Don't ever do that. Like, you need to get one of these defensive devices, which some of which are not legal to sell in the UK. It's funny, the rules that are different between the UK and the US, but yeah.
Well, pepper spray is not legal here. And I remember when I first moved to New York. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, it's not legal here.
So when I first moved to New York, I worked in an area that folks felt like I was going to be unsafe in. And actually, it turned out to be super safe and way more safe than the ritzy area I lived in. I got harassed way less and actually met a ton of wonderful people. But we'll talk about gentrification another time.
Oh, yeah.
So I was given pepper spray and they said, make sure you hide it on the subway, because if the police see it, you'll be arrested.
Yeah. See, this is the thing that I always think. Like, so I went on this course, right? And I recognize we're going a little bit off piece, but I went on this course and we're talking about attackers, and attackers by and large are male. There's a very small percentage of women that do become violent and attack, but in most cases it's men. And we take these classes, you carry this pepper spray, you have these defensive devices, and we're doing all of these defensive things, but we're not doing the thing that stops the action, which is to train men and boys to be in touch with their emotions, to understand how to funnel those emotions in a healthy way, to understand that they are not owed women's bodies, to understand that rejection is not rejection of self, but just it's something that happens and you don't need to kill someone over it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're doing all the patchwork pieces to try and plaster over the cracks, but we're not knocking the wall down and rebuilding it, even though we know that there's terminal breakage within it. Do you know what I mean?
I just 100%. I mean, yeah. if you objectify women to the point where they are objects and they're no longer human, and then you tell men through the lens of toxic masculinity that whatever they want is their right and they have a right to take it and they are superior, I mean, you're setting the stage for the awful violence that women face.
100%.
So, which is the cornerstone of the patriarchy. So the misogyny and the objectification of women.
It is. And so I just think even while we engage in these practices that are helpful to us and useful to us and like women need to do, at the same time, I'm a bit like, I just wish that instead of us having to protect ourselves from the problem was just attacked at its sort of foundation.
Or just identified as a problem at all. Because like, if you talk about violence against women at the hands of men, you're going to get the not all men banner flown through your conversation pretty quickly.
Oh my gosh.
When in actuality, I mean, this is a perfect segue, right? In actuality, reality, we're continuing to vilify and divide, at least the United States, especially the United States, against the trans community. They, you know, we don't want to have an inclusive bathroom. So we talk about how, you know, like the big dog whistle from the right is that, well, then people are going to go in there pretending to be trans and rape and murder women, right? But in that case, if you have a man,
a cis man
pretending to be a trans woman,
that's not the problem.
Your problem is still with men.
Exactly. I'm just saying with predatory men.
Predatory. Your problem is still predatory men. And then we talk about, you know, we'll go into detail on all these things, but we talk about the parental rights bill that just passed in Florida, which is the Don't Say Gay. That, you know, one of the dog whistles of the right wing is that it allowing teachers or people to talk about homosexuality or the LGBTQIA+ community to kids opens the door for pedophilia. But that is not about the trans community. That is about pedophiles and predatory men and women that prey on children. It has nothing to do with the LGBTQIA+ community in any way.
And it just shows its ignorance, doesn't it, in that link. That's a very, like, it's something that got brought up in the 50s and the 60s was that link between homosexuality, because that was kind of how it was referred to back then, was this homosexuals and pedophiles, they're all the same kind of a thing. And it really shows how outdated and, like, archaic these notions are. They're very right-wing, hyper-conservative Christian notions of this ideal that we can't accept anyone who's not a cisgender heterosexual person. Because somehow God makes it wrong to be that. But there's no one that can point out in the Bible where those rules actually exist.
There is a scripture, and I'm not gonna look it up, and I'm not gonna quote the exact scripture, because honestly, like, if you need that reference, Google it. Anyway, the translation is that men engage in unclean or untraditional sexual practices. Okay. And it doesn't say men lay with other men. It just says men engage in this. And in actuality, the translation is closer to men laying with children than men laying with other men.
100%.
So it's actually God is against pedophilia, which that's good.
Yeah, 100% right? We're behind that.
Yeah.
Because
totally.
Don't forget, like, the books of the Bible were written back in the times when there was that Roman crossover. And that was actually current within the Roman society, was that older men would mentor younger men, and there was an element of pedophilia tied to it. So I think a lot of those scriptures, and I mean, they're open to
but it's just a single occurrence. It's just a single occurrence of that. And you know, like, we know through history that homosexuality, non-binary individuals have always existed. And if that truly was the aim of the Bible to, you know, the Bible's not subtle. It hammers in all its points. This one scripture that we've completely misquoted, and I have not done it eloquently at all, but that is the get of it. So we're reaching here. And it's, you know, if you're going to cherry pick that one scripture, I'm not going to go way too far down this rabbit hole, because this is going to be our second book probably. And so I just wanted to say that if we're going to cherry pick this one scripture, and this is always the argument, right, of against kind of like the folks that want to quote part of the Bible, but not, you know, like, no divorce, no leather, no cutting your hair, no gold, no bacon. Right? So, like, if you really...
You can't cherry pick it.
You don't have a leg to stand on when you're trying to use one scripture that has been debated forever, right? So this is not about scriptures. This is about civil rights and respecting people in our community and the current attack in the United States on the LGBTQ+ community, especially towards trans kids, their caregivers, and their parents, is utterly despicable. Because I can tell you that these parents are just trying to survive. They're just trying to keep their kids alive, because trans youth have the highest rate of suicide of any other.
Yeah.
And so for multiple states to be pursuing criminal charges on parents who are just trying to keep their kids alive, it's a special kind of fucking evil.
I agree.
And all of these bans on kids being able to play sports on teams that are not their assigned gender. Give me 3 superstar trans athletes, because I don't know of any. Because it's not happening. It's a dog whistle. again. Trans kids aren't keeping your kids from being able to play soccer. They're not keeping your kids from being able to play football. They're not keeping your kids from doing anything. Trans families are trying to stay alive. That's it. Little gay boys and girls that are just trying to figure out who the fuck they are in this binary existence.
Yeah.
Aren't trying to fuck it up for anyone. And if they want to bring a book to school that makes them feel less other, representation matters. To share with other people what their view of the world is, or something that's made them feel like they're okay. What does that do to you or your child? What does having more knowledge, more of an accurate perception of people around them, how does that harm your child in any way?
It's empathy, isn't it? It's learning how to be empathetic.
Having empathy, yeah. Compassion, understanding that there's not just one way black and white in the world.
Yep.
I mean, we're at a place in the United States right now where you can't be black, you can't be gay, God forbid you're trans, and you can't have any other vision of the United States other than it is a great place to live.
Yeah, and it's the greatest country in the world. That's what I would say a lot.
Who does that sound like?
Trump?
Putin.
Yeah, I mean, it does. You're right. You're not wrong there.
Well, Trump is like a wannabe Putin. So it's just, you know, I knew about they're calling it the Don't Say Gay Bill. I believe it's called the Parental Rights Bill. Just parental rights in education. Bullshit. Well, because they're trying to say, parents, you have rights too. Your kid doesn't need to hear about this gay stuff that's going to turn them gay and completely disrupt your family values. That's how they're framing it. And it's abhorrent. And then Texas has begun their investigations into parents and caregivers that are providing gender-affirming care to their children. But actually, that was halted, I believe, yesterday.
It's just the investigations. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just a stay. It's not permanent. It's temporary.
And then just recently, on Tuesday, I'm gonna read here. We'll post this article. I'm starting to lose my voice, but I'm just going to keep going. Ileana Garcia, a Republican, shared several accounts about LGBTQ+ people in her life. Over several minutes, she potentially misgendered several loved ones and shared disinformation about gender identity. One of her most striking statements was, "By the way, gay is not a permanent thing," she said. "LGBT is not a permanent thing, and it's not a bad thing." And then she talked about how she has a very good friend who is a transgender woman. She tried it out for a sexual experience, but now she's back to being a man and married to a woman.
That doesn't sound like a trans person.
No.
But also, I say that sometimes people harken back to these studies when they looked at trans kids, apparently, that 80% were still in line with their gender-affirming surgeries, like they still wanted them, and 20% didn't. But what was misleading about that was that research wasn't including just trans kids. It was kids that were gender non-conforming. So they were given... they were given gender-affirming surgeries and treatments, but they were not all trans kids. They were kids who were gender non-conforming. They didn't always need... so obviously 20% of them didn't need the support that trans kids need, but they were given it and they didn't actually need it. And that's why you get that skew in the numbers.
That's like a misdiagnosis.
Oh, 100%.
Thing.
Because they weren't splitting it out. They were just saying all these kids are gender non-conforming, thinking mistakenly that to be gender non-conforming is the same as being trans. And I mean, correct me if I sound wrong here, Jenny, but trans kids know who they are. They know what they are. They know exactly who they are. Gender non-conforming kids may go back and forth.
Well, and I think that's why it's great why we are having these conversations about non-binary folks.
Yeah.
It's fine if you don't feel one way or the other. I mean, I have days where I dress, feel one way, and I have days where I feel another way. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. There are a lot of studies that are saying, like, something up to, like, 30 or 40% of teens are identifying as gender non-conforming or part of the gay community. And I think that a lot of conservative folks are reacting to those numbers and saying, oh my God, we're going in the wrong direction. And they're so worried about our youth. But we just have the conversation now. And sexuality is a sliding scale, and you get to be who you want to be. Yeah. We live in, especially in the United States, and I hope that we're not alienating our folks around the world, because we love everyone around the world, but I'm speaking of what's happening in the United States, because that's where I am and I'm in the thick of it. But I think that kids today have the luxury of being able to say, I can be something other than black or white. I can be something other than this blue or pink binary,
which that
toxic structure that you've given us to exist in. And it's very narrow.
And it's very young. It's very young.
And
it's a very young system.
Might even be some kids as young as 3 or 4 that have rejected that system because they know that it doesn't work.
And then there are some amazing, brilliant kids that know from the time they're able to talk that what they've been told they are isn't right.
Yeah. So this pink and blue, if you feel pulled by it, if you feel like uncomfortable with this conversation, I really think that it's time to like dig deep and realize.
First of all, it's none of your business. Can I just
say that? That's the other thing. Like, this doesn't affect you in any way. Like, gay people having rights doesn't mean you have less rights.
Doesn't affect, it's not pie, right? There's not one pie, just like there's not one seat at the table that's missing. You having rights doesn't mean other people don't. Sorry, Jenny, I keep interrupting you. I apologize.
No, that's fine. I'm losing my voice anyway, but it's just so heartbreaking to see these states like Texas and Florida and Iowa and who else? I'm just going to pull this article up because it's really important. So the Human Rights Campaign Foundation released a state equality index in January, talking about what places were like safest for folks in the community. And so in 2021, there were 81 bills introduced in the United States aimed to prevent transgender youth from playing school sports and 43 bills to prevent transgender youth from receiving gender-affirming healthcare. Now, gender-affirming healthcare doesn't just mean top or bottom surgery. There's hormone
support. Yeah, hormone therapy.
Hormone support. There's also hormone blockers. All of this stuff is aimed at, it's called gender affirming because it's aimed at keeping these kids alive and keeping them comfortable. For the most part, they've all got gender
dysphoria,
dysphoria,
yeah.
Which means they hate the body they're in because it's not the right body for them. This is anyone that's looked in the mirror and not liked what they've seen, you know, if it's just a weight thing or like, you know, not just a weight. I know that there are some people that with diet culture and weight and all that stuff, that's so hard. And I know that there are probably a ton of people listening that carry that burden and that's so hard. But can you imagine looking at your body and not just seeing an extra pound or 20, but just seeing the wrong body and seeing something that is horrifying and shame inducing for you on top of the already probably bullying that you're facing at home or at school because you don't fit into the pink and blue box that you've been allowed.
Yeah, only pink, only blue. No mixing.
That's it. No purple.
No purple. I mean, what else happens when you mix pink and blue? Mm. And no other colors. I don't know.
No other colors.
No other colors.
You know, you got to be this skinny, fuckable woman, objectifiable woman, or this hulking, masculine, take power man. And anything within that, anything on the sliding scale of the female or male gender is actually not really all that acceptable. Because as soon as you start sliding either way, you know, there's a problem. So
I wanted to say about the intersection of like how it happens in the workplace, right? So,
well, I would just...
Yeah, no, go. Say more.
I would just say first before you go, like, if you have any friends or coworkers in, you know, if you're in the States or anywhere, I mean, I'm assuming that this stuff's getting publicity across the pond, is it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you gotta look for it. You gotta care. Do you know what I mean?
Okay. Well, I would just say, I mean, but probably the folks that are in the LGBTQIA+ community everywhere are watching. Yeah. So if you have coworkers or friends that are in that space, or God forbid they have children that are in that space, just maybe check in. It's a really scary time. I mean, but my God, check in with everyone. Check in with everyone right now. Check in with people if you have any Ukrainian or Russian friends. Black lives still matter. Check in with folks there. Check in with everyone. But right now, this battle seems kind of top of pile, at least for Lisa and I, as it impacts us. And so that's all I want to say. Check in with your coworkers and make sure that they are being given a wide berth. And if you see any anti-gay or othering, be vocal about it. It's time. But it's also, time, because they're not the only ones that are going to lose their civil rights.
No.
And they're coming for everyone.
Oh, huh. Absolutely. I mean, there's that old saying, right? First they came for my neighbor, but they were not me, so I didn't care. And then they came for the next, you know, and then they came for them, and I didn't say anything. And then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me.
Mm-hmm.
You don't speak about the things that matter now. You don't speak in support of and on behalf of others. Bad things happen to everybody. I know that specifically in the UK, there's something called the Gender Recognition Act, and the government was holding consultations on changing the Gender Recognition Act to make it easier for trans people to legally change their gender. And surprise, surprise, there was a whole bunch of conservative-led women's groups and equalities committees that wanted it to be harder.
Why?
I know. Because there is a really strong vein of women who, going off the back of this predatory man in the toilet situation, right? They mm-hmm. feel like allowing trans women to just exist as women, which is what they are, BTW. If you just mm-hmm. let them just exist as women, it's somehow a threat to women who are assigned female at birth. And nothing could be further from the truth. Look, there are kids in the town that I live in that are definitely gender nonconforming. I wouldn't like to speculate on whether they're trans or anything like that, but it's enough to say that they're gender nonconforming. And I can tell you that these kids, when they walk around, they are not predators. They are not kids that will harm others. They are kids who are being harmed. They are kids who are scared. They're kids who are made to feel other. Mm-hmm. And that's a terrible, lonely place for a child to be placed, especially if they don't have a home life that's supportive of their choices. Mm-hmm. And even if they do, it's still scary.
Mm-hmm. It's still scary. Well, that's another thing that's happening in Florida is that now teachers are required, if a child is behaving in school in a way that does not align with their assigned gender, the teachers are now required to notify the parents.
But what a slippery slope, right? Like your daughter's not acting feminine enough.
Yeah, how fucked up is that?
What are the markers of femininity?
Well, that's funny, right? Because she can't wear spaghetti straps or stretch pants.
No, because then she's weaponizing the sexuality. But she can't act like a boy. But then she mm-hmm. can act like a boy, or her parents will get reported. There is no way to win. The target will always evolve. I feel like that's what our book should be called, The Evolving Target. Because there's no way to win, because the target always evolves mm-hmm. so that you're always wrong. Mm-hmm. If you are somehow different from the
norm. Devolving target, because yeah. clearly we are evolving. We are devolving, not evolving. Yeah. There's nothing. We are not reaching any higher mental clarity in anywhere at this point.
I agree. So I wanted to just read a couple of bits from a McKinsey report. I love a little bit of McKinsey. I'm not going to lie. Like, we get comments from time to time about the way McKinsey have treated some of their employees. I would mm-hmm. never comment on how McKinsey gather information, but they are a leading data source. Because they run large studies and they gather a lot of research, and they are, topically at least, trying to be diverse in their data collection. And I'm sorry, but that is a really rare thing. I don't know why I'm said I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. I'm furious. I'm furious that it's a really rare thing to find the data that you need to find to support these conversations when we talk about diversity in the workplace. Anyway, that being said, McKinsey put out it's a little bit old. It's the middle of June 2020, but they were talking about how the LGBTQ+ community fares in the workplace. And I just want to read off a couple of these things because I think it's really important for our listeners to hear, because if you don't have trans people or people from the LGBTQIA communities in your life or anywhere around you, you won't see this. It won't be your lived experience. And sometimes you need to hear what's happening to other people in order to show your humanity and give a little empathy and stop saying terrible things when they don't actually really affect you, you know, like being afraid of trans women who are genuinely just trying to exist in a world that is absolutely out to kill them. But I don't.
Yes. Yeah. And okay. It's important as a feminist and a womanist, oh my God, you know, to be completely intersectional and to be aware of all of the hurdles that the rest of us are facing.
Yeah. It's our community. It's our feminist community. And look, feminism is not just for women. It's for men as well. It's for everyone. Uh-huh. It's for however people identify. Feminism is genuinely for everyone. But there is, you know, there are tropes about feminism, and white feminism is something that has been so toxic for so long. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And we really can't allow that toxicity to keep poisoning the well. Okay. So McKinsey, June 2020 report. I mean, obviously, wow, what time to do a report. Not a great time in all of our lives, but So trans people are much more likely to report being the only, right? So in both gender and sexual orientation, trans people are also likely to have the support of a sponsor in the workplace. People who identify as trans are roughly the same age as their cisgender colleagues, but they are much more likely to be in entry-level positions when compared to cisgender colleagues of theirs.
Wow.
They're also less likely to have management, evaluation, or hiring responsibilities. And they're more likely to view their gender or sexual orientation as a barrier to advancement. So this is LGBTQIA+ and trans people, but there will be specific trans statistics in here.
How fucked is this shit?
It's really fucked.
I mean, this sounds like it's from the fucking 50s.
Because that this conversation that we're having has stopped at the 50s. It did stop there. It stopped there, and we're trying to have these conversations now. We need
to stop at Stonewall.
I mean, Stonewall was in the 70s, but when was Stonewall?
1969.
Okay.
That's easy to remember.
I mean, what a year. Mm. Am I right? It's every Brosif's favorite year. Mm-hmm. So members of the LGBTQI+ community are twice as likely to hear sexist jokes about people of their gender or to hear demeaning comments about people like themselves. I think that's more mm-hmm. trans specific. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. they're more than three times more likely to feel like they can't talk about themselves or their life outside of work.
I'm not sure that that's trans specific because I mean, you and I both have many gay friends, and I feel like that has been something that they've, my gay friends have shared with me, and I'm sure you've had the same experience. Yeah. So.
Well, we've definitely, in earlier episodes, we've talked about how there is an increase of sexualization and fetishization of people from the LGBTQ+ community in the workplace and how they get treated and the way that they get, like I said, hypersexualized. And I mean, I don't really know what to say else about it. It's just, I just feel like this is such a basic part, like as a basic stepping stone of being a human. Like you genuinely don't ask people you don't know about their sexual practices, nor are you threatened by the sexual practices that have no impact on you whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Like, why is it a thing?
Yeah. No, like, there's a lot of disrespect and inappropriate talk that is levied towards... Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, like, one of the things I've heard straight women say to gay men is, like, are you a top or a bottom? God, that's mm-hmm. such a personal thing to ask. You would
Or never... even worse, are you the boy or the girl?
Oh, my God. I hate that.
I mean, people ask that all the time. I mean, listen, you might think if you're untouched by this, feel blessed, but we're not as far along as you would think. And these bills are passing quietly. These orders are passing quietly, and they have real world implications that are killing and harming children and marginalized and at-risk communities. Right. On Friday, in my state, in North Carolina, it finally became legal for same-sex couples to file a domestic violence report. We are the only state without that protection. So if your boyfriend or girlfriend or wife or husband beat the shit out of you and you're a same-sex couple,
you had no reason.
More power to you.
Wow.
Deal with it yourself. Wow. Friday. It's 2022. So we are not far along in this fight. And the United States it's an all-out war against trans kids and their families, and also against the LGBTQIA+ community.
Yeah.
So we hope that this conversation can spur you towards some sort of action, whether it's just being more aware as things go through on the news, or reaching out to friends and family who may be impacted by these measures, or making a donation. I don't know if you, I know a lot of people are in a rough financial place and a lot of effort is being focused towards the war in the Ukraine. But if you know, there's some great organizations, and we can throw some stuff up on our Linktree if you are interested in looking more into supporting different youth organizations. PFLAG is a great one.
Mermaids,
Time Out Youth is
that's
a great
good one.
One.
Mermaids is great. So that's gender diverse kids, transgender, non-binary kids as well, and young people up until their 20th birthday. So that's the area, that's a part of their lives when they're at the most at risk of
or get involved in your, if you're in the United States, get involved with your local pride group. Ooh, they're probably getting started planning. Well, they should, if they're going to have a celebration this year, figure out when your Pride Week is, reach out to your local Pride chapter and see if they need help, volunteers or resources. But we'll throw some links up on our link tree. And then obviously the articles that we referenced, that I referenced today and read from, we'll put up in there as well. So okay. I think it's probably time to ratchet things up a notch and bring in some happiness and talk about what's good.
What I think is good is the Marsha P. Johnson Institute. So the Marsha P. Johnson Institute. So if you don't know, Marsha P. Johnson was an activist and she was a prominent figure in the Stonewall Uprising, which as we now know is 1969. What I love about Marsha P. Johnson, other than the fact that the P stands for Pay It No Mind, which is just awesome.
Amazing,
Is that the Marsha P. Johnson Institute is literally set up to protect and defend the human rights of Black transgender people. So they organize, they advocate, they work to create an intentional community to develop and support and protect the collective power of the Black transgender community. They were founded mainly in responses to the extremely high rates of murder of Black trans women and women of color. And they are looking to help eradicate the systemic racism and the physical violence that intersects on the lives of Black trans people everywhere, but most specifically Black trans women.
Mm-hmm. Who are the most at risk of our population.
100%. So this organization is led by Black trans people. So it's not like got a white frontage on it and it's supposed to be supporting Black trans people. This is a Black trans led community. And I would just urge everyone, we will put the links in our link trees to go and see the Marsha P. Johnson Institute's website. But that is the one that I would say is good, and they do good work, and they are doing the work that nobody wants to do. And they're saying the things that people don't want to hear. So if you are thinking of donating, you got a spare $5 or pounds, I think they are they're a place where your money will go to amazing use. And that is, I think, what's good.
So my what's good is the Trevor Project, which was founded in 98 by three filmmakers who in 94 created a short film, Trevor, a dramedy about Trevor, a gay 13-year-old boy who, when rejected by his friends because of his sexuality, makes an attempt to take his life. When in 98, when it was scheduled to air on HBO, the filmmakers realized that some of the program's young viewers might be facing the same kind of crisis as Trevor, and then began searching for support resources. This is crazy. To broadcast during the airing, and they discovered that no such helpline existed.
Wow.
98. They formed this organization to promote the acceptance of LGBTQ youth and to aid in crisis and suicide prevention among that group.
Oh my God, Jenny. 98. That was when Matthew Shepard was killed.
Yes. So that's what I think.
Oh.
I think that's what's... So that's probably why I thought...
Okay.
So Matthew Shepard, do you want to talk about him or do you want me to?
Oh my God. I can try, but I always cry when I talk about Matthew Shepard.
I got you. I got your back. You start. I'll finish if I need to.
Okay. So Matthew Shepard was a gay...
A student at the University of Wyoming.
Yep.
And he was beaten and tortured and left to die near Laramie on the night of October 6, 98.
Oh, Jenny.
He
died 6 days later.
Mm-hmm.
He was left tied to a fence post in the middle of a field.
Mm. But definitely these are the people that we need to be worried about. Not the attackers. So the Trevor Project was founded around that same time.
Yeah.
And so their mission is to end suicide among lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, and questioning young people. They have a ton of resources. If you go to the trevorproject.org right away, there's a button at the top that says donate, but also reach a button to reach a counselor. They have they have crisis services, peer support. They also provide research, public education, and then advocacy. So if you want to get involved, this is a great place to start as well. Obviously, we'll post all these links for you. But I know that in kind of my research for trans youth, almost every major group that I have come in contact with also the Trevor Project is where they direct people who are having a hard time. So, I mean, if the LGBTQ community is very siloed and broken up just because that's what, you know, that's what the government is trying to do, is trying to divide all of us. And I know that there's a lot of fear and a lot of uncertainty out there. And I feel like this is one of the things that I've seen that actually is really united across all fronts that support transgender youth is the Trevor Project. So they're doing great work. So if you want to get involved or you want more information on how you can be a better ally or to the community, you can find that information here as well. So we didn't bounce back up. I want to thank you for listening today. It was a rough one, but an important one. And I would urge you all to get as involved as you are able. I know it's still a really hard season for a lot of people. There are a lot of folks that are kind of getting return to work orders. And for a lot of people, the pandemic is now over, even though it's not. And it's a scary time. And with inflation and the cost of the war, I think it's just we're all in for a rough ride. So I would just urge you to look around you at your friends and family that might need a little extra support and kind of give them that. And if you need more support, please don't hesitate to reach out to us, patriarchypod@gmail.com, and we will help find you the resources or hook you up in a community that can help you do that. We love to do some research and kind of have our hands in a lot of pies at the moment. So once again, thank you for listening. We are patriarchypod@gmail.com, dearpatriarchypod@Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok, patriarchy_pod@Twitter. And we are sending you all love, light, and wishing you a very good night.
Good night.